some club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choose a club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choose a club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choose a club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choose a squad going up.
Welcome, everybody, to the last live in-person hamster cast of the season. Potentially we'll have some more, maybe over phone, over Skype.
Yeah, but we might have some phone-ins.
Maybe. We are the, of course, the Kings of Carries first only, and therefore best podcast. Mark Wolfinger and Mike Callahan in studio coming at you guys. We've got the Thursday night game going on. We have a Latavius Murray sighting, which is the first bit of good news that Two Girls, One Cob has had all year. Got to feel good about
that. Mark, I'm surprised you just glossed over a little bit different of a start to the show than we normally have.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've just been playing that song on repeat for the past few days. It's just really sick song.
Mm-hmm.
Drake does it again, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Drake, what an entertainer.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday, even though it's Thursday, it's so good that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's just such a good song.
We're playing it on a Thursday.
Yeah,
we'll be playing it tomorrow,
all weekend,
Saturday,
probably the weekend of December 21st when we're blowing it out somewhere.
Yeah,
we'll probably be playing it then too.
Yeah, we're blowing it out on Saturday.
Yeah, but so Mike, I got home from work today and jumped on Facebook and I saw you had this. This post you, the Richmond Kickers shared on Facebook that, or I guess they shared on their website that you re-signed and you shared it on Facebook and you got 87 likes, which is very, very impressive. We got to say, I didn't think you had that in you. Is this something that we can look forward to over the next couple of years? Maybe you being a little bit more active on social media here?
We'll see. You know, I just, you know, I'm excited about coming back to the Kickers. It's going to be a great year next year. I'm excited to be healthy again, you know, gotten over the concussion. And, you know, I don't know. I'd been toying with the idea of, developing a more active social media presence, more as like a career move.
Hmm.
You know, I'm going into the coaching field when I'm done playing and, you know, I haven't really decided yet whether I want to, you know, go down the college coaching route or the youth coaching route or even possibly trying to start my own business, like a training academy, a skills academy of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And just in general, though, having a little bit more of a social media presence is definitely a positive thing for something like that. Just, I guess being a little bit more actively involved in the community.
Hmm.
You know, we have somewhat of a following here in Richmond.
Absolutely.
It's small, but loyal.
Yeah, it's there.
You know, the supporters group, they're called the Red Army here in Richmond. They've mm-hmm. been growing every year, at least growing every year since we started selling beer at the games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I've thought about it a little bit.
Well, you're off to a great start. 87 likes.
Thanks, man. Right. It's weird because I never post anything on Facebook.
I know.
So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Latavius Murray never putting up any fantasy points and then putting up 23 in one
23.
Half.
But, you know, now he's got concussed. He's out of the game. Pretty disappointing. I mean, he could have thrown up 40 points for me tonight.
So you're disappointed in 23 points from Latavius?
No,
Murray.
I'm not disappointed in 23 points from Latavius Murray.
But I don't want to get too greedy over here.
What I am a little disappointed in is that he just didn't get a full game to showcase himself. You know, because
I think he showed us everything we needed to see.
The funny thing is, I was actually listening to something on the way home tonight from coaching. And they were talking about how the Raiders right now through week 11 were on pace to like set historic low records for like rushing for their entire rushing game.
Mm.
And then just in three carries tonight for Latavius Murray. He goes off for, you know, 100 something yards and two touchdowns.
Well, that's why you had him on your team.
That's why I had him on the bench. We knew this day was coming at some point. We didn't know it was going to be this explosive, but, you know, I'm happy for him. And I'm happy for my prospects going into next year with him.
One more quick thing back to your social media presence.
Yeah.
I clicked on the – so you shared the article that the Kickers posted on their website about re-signing you. I clicked on the – excuse me, on the link to the article. And your coach had a few nice things to say about you. I'll read a quick quote here. Callie is another important signing in our overall objective of returning the top performers from last season's team. So you've got this nickname, Callie, which you swear you don't promote or tell anyone to call you by the name of Callie. You move up. You live in Cary. You move to Austin, Texas. No one from Cary is there, and we come to visit you in Austin, and all your teammates are calling you Callie. Then you move to Richmond. No one from Cary or from back home is in Richmond, and we come up to visit you in Richmond. All your teammates are calling you Callie. I think it's pretty obvious you definitely are pushing the name Callie.
You know, it's – I swear I'm being 100% honest here. I never have once, like, introduced myself as Callie or said, like
– How does that happen?
Call me – It started in Austin. So, like, obviously in college, there's a clear explanation for that. Like, everyone who went to Green Hope, like, went to Carolina. Bickford, Jake, and Tim Evans, who I played with on my club team, who all called me Callie. There were, like, older guys like Brad Darby, Casey Shanley, guys who were already calling me that. So, obviously, it transferred from high school to college that way. Then, when I went out to Austin... there was the assistant coach, Bobby, God, I'm blanking on his name now. But anyway, so like I had a weird, I mean, I went out there on trial, like nobody, I mean, obviously I didn't know anybody, nobody from UNC. And then like Bobby, the assistant coach was like really connected into the youth soccer scene. And he like started calling, I swear, dude, Mark's giving me a really dubious look here. I don't like the name, but like it is a girl's name, so I don't really have an incentive to like push it.
I'm just saying, if I moved to Austin, Texas, and you guys came out and visited me, and all the people that I was hanging out with out there were calling me King Ding, wouldn't you think that I kind of like push that on them?
Wow. There you go, guys. Mark wants us to call him King Ding again.
But you see what I'm saying here?
I see what you're saying. It's a little suspicious. But the soccer community it's a tight-knit community. It's small. So, like, I'm sure players, you know, are asking, oh, who are the new players that signed? Oh, my God. Oh, who? Like, oh, Callie. Oh, yeah, Callie. You know, and then they start calling me. And once, like, one person does, then it just catches on. And, you know. So there you go. But I honestly am not promoting that that name. It just kind of it's followed me, the same way Peanut has followed Peanut.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Alrighty, Mike. First piece of news here. We're going to cover a couple of pickups from this past Tuesday. First, the most expensive pickup: City football team, Baby Koosh. Bids 12 Skittles on Kobe Fleener, of course, to replace the injured Julius Thomas. I think pretty good move. You know, Fleener's been hot lately. Dwayne Allen's out. I can see him being a nice little plug and play there for Koosh. Another pickup I noticed was you picked up Ray Rice. And I couldn't help but notice. Remember several episodes back, when we had Zane on, you and Zane were giving me a really hard time about drafting Ray Rice, really questioning my morality. And, you know, since then, I dropped Ray Rice. Zane picked him up. Zane dropped him, and then you picked him up. And, you know, I just see a lot of hypocrisy there.
Well, you know, what I've seen from Ray Rice is a lot of remorse for what he did. You know, he's in counseling. He's trying to get help. He's trying to get better. You know, he's sorry. And, you know, the fact that he's taking those steps in his personal life to obviously rectify you know, a big wrong that he did. Just makes me believe in him a little bit, not only as a football player, but a little bit as a person as well. And so, you know, that's the reason I was willing to stash him on the roster. Obviously, he's shown before he can be a great running back. And the fact that he's taken those steps in his personal life to try and be a better person made me willing to pick him up, you know, and willing to put him on my team.
Yeah, you know, he not only did he does he have questionable morals, when I drafted him, you were giving me a hard time because you were talking about how terrible he looked last year. And I said, well, he was a little banged up, and your rebuttal was, no, even after that, when he came back, he was healthy and he still sucked. And I'm just questioning why you went back on that and picked him up.
Well, I mean, I'm taking it's a high risk, you know. Well, not really high risk because I'm have no chance of making the playoffs. But you know, there's a small chance that Ray Rice, you know, is going to get picked up by a team next year, or you know, I guess actually the Ravens may have said they're never going to play him again. I don't remember, but there's a chance he could be the starting running back somewhere next year, and could have some fantasy value. And you never know. I mean, the way that LT looked tonight, if you guys don't know, LT is Latavius Murray's nickname. He is the second coming of LT. You know, probably going to be equally as explosive, have a similar career as the previous LT. And I've also got Isaiah Crowell, so I'm pretty full in my keeper.
Mike, no one cares about your running backs. Another pickup I saw, Jordan did his weekly Charles Clay and Austin Seferian Jenkins swap.
Yeah.
I think that's about 5 weeks in a row he's swapped them out.
Pretty funny. That could be another add to the drinking game. It's just like every time Jordan picks up or drops Charles Clay, you have to like chug a beer.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing.
I didn't see a whole lot of other pickups that were noteworthy.
Well, the other interesting thing is that just the amount of money spent on defenses, I think that's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Richie spent $10 on Green Bay, who they play Minnesota this week, but I didn't look at their schedule down the road. Did you?
No.
I didn't either. I'm assuming they have some good matchups for the playoffs.
Yeah, and
you bid $5 on Baltimore and $3 on St. Louis, so a combined $8 on two defenses.
That's right. Yeah, you know, just I'm looking forward to the playoffs. Picked up a couple defenses that I thought would help me out weeks 15 and 16, and you see this every year at the end of the season. People have the leftover fab skittles, and you see the higher payouts for defenses.
Yep.
I think that's pretty expected. You didn't see anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
One other piece of news. So I was checking out the Hamstercast on iTunes in the iTunes store.
Okay.
And my girlfriend Leah, you know, great sport, really supportive of the show and everything. I went in and checked out the Hamstercast on the iTunes store, and we only have one customer review. Of course, it's from Leah. She made a post.
Nice job, Leah.
Yeah. Very, you know, you got to really appreciate that. She said, great job, guys, several exclamation points. However, iTunes has a 5-star rating, and she only gave us 4 stars.
What?
Yeah. When I saw that she gave us a rating, I was like, all right, sweet. That's a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
And no.
Huh. So have you talked to her yet about why we only got 4?
No, I just noticed this right before we started recording.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of this. You'd think that...
You'd think that's an automatic 5.
Yeah. Not only is she a huge fan of the show, but she's also dating one of the co-hosts.
That's right.
You know, you'd think that warrants a 5-star rating.
If we can't get a 5-star rating from one of the co-host girlfriends, we're never getting a 5-star rating.
And Neha has not given us a review on there.
Yeah.
She claims to be the number one non-league member fan.
Yeah, you'd think she would have given us a 5-star rating.
Right. Well, we'll see. If Neha comes through with a 5-star rating, then...
And that just she might, proves that she is
the number one fan.
All right. So I think that about does. Oh, one more quick thing. We got a great squeak from the commish.
My acorn is missing.
Squeak, squeak, and squeak, squeak.
Did you eat the acorn?
Squeaker, squeak, squeak, squeak.
You owe me a new acorn.
Squeak, 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 squeaker. Squeaking.
I'm so proud.
Commish sends an email from abroad. What's up, guys? Got a few ideas I wanted to run by you. You know, since I'm 4-7 and my playoff hopes are about as likely as Mike A. dropping Darren McFadden, Mark denying the fact that he has three I Heart Jonas Gray t-shirts, or Kyle Ann ever being rubbed the right way. Of course, he puts in parentheses, Mark, don't make a dirty joke again. And one of the things he requested or suggested was this this drop we just played.
It's a
scene from Emperor's New Groove. I haven't seen that movie, but you told me off the air that you're very familiar with that movie.
Huge fan of that movie. Yeah. That was one that my brother and I, growing up, watched all the time, could quote it. You know, a lot of quotes in that movie.
I didn't realize it was that old.
The other thing about that, and I'm surprised you didn't bring this up when Schneid said that, was that Holly Campbell from Green Hope High School, she used to say that I looked like the llama from that movie. I remember, especially, and it was because when I drank out of a soda can, I would, like, my lips, you know, just whatever, the way I would position my mouth on the soda can made me look like a llama. So,
interesting.
And she's not the only person that's actually told me that.
Yeah, I just Googled it.
Yeah.
Pretty striking resemblance.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Another thing from Schneid's, he had a suggestion that if we ever wanted to, because of course, Neha suggested that we have more high school memories.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how many high school memories him and I could talk about from the Green Hope High School basketball days back in the day. And he even suggested getting Mike Klein on the line to share some of the stories, which I really think is a great idea.
It's not a bad idea.
I think that would make for some great pod.
Yeah.
So maybe down the line we'll do that. And then also, he talked about the league rules summit, which we were talking about.
Yeah, in Key West.
In Key West, of course.
Yeah.
He was talking about how perhaps the playoffs would be a good opportunity to have a Google Hangout to discuss league rules. So, you know, maybe we can save the Key West trip for a little bit later.
And I'm just spitballing here. You know, we've talked about our plans for the big fantasy championship weekend, December 20th and 21st. Mm-hmm. What if we had the rules summit, you know, leading up to the big blowout of the championship? Or do we not want any distractions from the championship?
Yeah, I think the rules summit is a better off-season thing.
I mean, I understand where Schneid's is coming from, just the fact of, like, how, you know, we're right in the thick of everything right now. So, you know, everything's fresh. People are as invested as they're ever going to be.
Right.
You know, we still remember everything that's happened. And so any rule changes that we want to make would be right at the forefront.
Right. But if we have the league summit or the league rules summit in the offseason, that'll give us a reason to have an offseason podcast.
Sold. Yeah. All right. Off season it is. Yeah.
But yeah, great squeak from Schneid's.
Yep.
Really appreciate it. If anyone else out there wants to speak us,
yeah,
you know, you can.
It's at hamstercast@gmail.com.
That's right. Hamstercast@gmail.com. All right, Mike, that does it for the squeaks. Let's go ahead and cook up some previews here. Alrighty. First preview, let's go ahead and get the boring, meaningless matchup out of the way. Panda's friend versus Jordy's Nelson.
Actually, sorry, I forgot something. So on the last podcast, I made a commitment that I was going to write a haiku, as you called it, a high Q for every team in the league.
It was a simple miss.
So anyway, I'm going to what we had talked about pre-show was that as we go through the matchups, I would read each team's high Q as we get into the matchup.
Right. You didn't have to cut me off to say that, Mike. You could have said that after I did my introduction. First up, we have Panda Sprint versus Jordy's Nelson Mandela's. Both teams are 4-7, eliminated from the playoffs. Mike, why don't you go ahead and give us your high Qs for both teams here.
All right. I will start with Jordy's Nelson Mandela's. And I welcome anybody, you know, if I screw up on the syllables or anything like that, you know, feel free to squeak us and let us know. Jordy's Nelson Mandela's. Here we go. Worst name in the league. Became a fan favorite. Season of What Ifs.
Pretty good. Good start. Good start, Mike, too.
All right. And moving on to Panda's Friend. Sorry. Okay.
Right.
This is for Panda's Friend. Leader from a... Sorry.
Dude, come on.
All right, I got it. I got to get it together here. I know, this is a terrible pun. Okay. Leader from afar. Came under tough scrutiny. You can't
come
stop.
On, man.
You can't start laughing mid-poem. They're just going to set me off again. All right, I'll start again.
Came under tough scrutiny.
Okay, this is for Panda's Friend. Leader from afar. Came under tough scrutiny. Loaded for next year.
Man, you are going to do great in the Poetry Slam, Mike. I got to say, I'm impressed by these.
All right, let's get into these previews.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and pick Jordy's Nelson Mandela's here. Let's start with Schneid's side of the ball. We, of course, have the big Josh Gordon return. Probably the biggest, most popular name in fantasy football discussions right now.
Yep.
Josh Gordon back from his, I guess, 10-week suspension.
Yep. I wonder what he's been doing during that suspension.
I think just working out.
You don't think he's just been getting
weed.
High?
No. I think he finally learned his lesson. And then I was trying to get excited about a few different things on Schneid's team. Didn't see a whole lot to get excited about. He does have Julio Jones playing at home versus Cleveland. Maybe he'll have a nice game. One thing I did notice, starting Reggie Wayne over Vincent Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I question this is more than likely Schneid's team is going to suck and Jordan is going to have a good day. If you get your usual 7-9 from Reggie Wayne, how the hell does that help you win in an upset bid? You need a high-risk, high-reward player such as a Vincent Jackson, a Brandon LaFell who's on your bench.
Yeah.
Vincent Jackson could get 3 points. So what? If Reggie Wayne gets 9, you're still going to lose by 20. If Vincent Jackson gets you 30, you might have a chance to win.
Yep.
Something I noticed there. And looking at Jordy's side, I got to say, I think if you don't factor in record, with the exception of Jules Dash, you can make the argument Jordy's Nelson Mandela's is as good as any team right now. He's got some great matchups for his stud players.
Yep.
His Packers are playing the Vikings. Sanchez playing the Titans. I'm definitely picking Jordan this matchup. One thing I need to note for Jordan's team here. How it's just been a year of really bad luck. Just can't get anything going his way. Finally, all of his players are clicking. He's eliminated from the playoffs. So you think, you know, well, so he's got this great team. He's eliminated. At least he can play spoiler, you know. At least he can get motivated to play spoiler for the next couple weeks. And who is he playing the next 2 weeks? Panda's friend and two girls, one cop. There's just nothing going right for Jordan this year. Can't help but feel bad for him. I am picking. Having said all that, I'm still picking Jordy's for this week.
Yeah, I'm picking Jordy's as well. You know, not much to say there. Schneids is starting Booby Dixon at RB2, who is now the third-string running back in Buffalo now that Fred Jackson is back. You know, his quarterbacks don't give you anything to get excited about with Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco. With Jordan's team, like I said on the podcast on Tuesday, you know, Eddie Lacy has come around. I've come around a little bit on him here. The way Rodgers is playing and moving that offense, you know, you expect him and Jordy Nelson to have nice games. A.J. Green, back healthy now, had his first nice game last week. You got to think he's going to keep progressing forward. And then Trent Richardson, another running back that I have hated on this year. He is at home versus Jacksonville and without Ahmad Bradshaw to compete with anymore. So probably going to get you some fantasy points there. I am also picking Jordy's Nelson Mandela's.
All righty. Next up, one more snap versus two girls, one cob. I'm going to go ahead and pick two girls, one cob in this matchup. After Latavius put up this performance of 23 points, you know, it's hard to pick against you. Isaiah Crowell is the starter in Cleveland right now with Ben Tate being cut. Aaron Rodgers is on some kind of tear. And, you know, I don't see a whole lot coming from Pierre Garçon or Mohamed Sanu or Keenan Allen. But I think Murray, Rodgers, and Crowell can give you enough to beat Dust here. One thing I need to question is you're sticking with Pierre Garçon here. And I feel like that's just a pride thing more than using your brain. You
Yeah. I mean, look at my bench. Who would you start? Moncrief or
I think I would start anyone on the waiver wire.
Oh. Well, my thing is, like, I picked him up purely because he's going to be a 10th rounder for next year. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe Washington can sort it out a little bit. Like I said on Tuesday, RG3 and Garçon have had a nice connection in the past. And if they can maybe get something going, then all of a sudden maybe Garçon has some value for next year. But... So, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's a guy who's probably more interesting this week than Garçon, but I think at this point I'm going to roll with him at least for one more week and see what happens. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll play Moncrief. That's a – you never know, right?
Yeah, you never know. Who are you picking this one, Mike?
I am picking myself. It's the first time I've been projected at over 100 points since the tank heard around the world. Like you said, LT just went off for a monster game in the first half. Could have been much more, which is a little disappointing, but we'll take it. and then for Dustin, he's got Matt Stafford playing on the road at New England. Very tough matchup there. He's got Mike Vick on the road at Buffalo. Very tough matchup there. I just see him having a tough week here, and I am picking myself.
Alrighty. Next up, City Football Team versus the Big Easy. City Football Team comes to this one at 7-4. Big Easy coming in at 5-6. I'm picking the Big Easy here. City Football Team has Emmanuel Sanders and Julius Thomas in his lineup right now. Both have not practiced at all this week. Things aren't looking good for them to start. He's got Big Ben on bye, and because he didn't put in a claim for McCown a few weeks ago, he will be starting Kobe Fleener as his QB2.
That hurts.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Matt 2 here. We've all seen what the Saints do in prime time at home. Breeze and Graham will have a pretty huge games here, I'm predicting. Also, DeMarco Murray is in prime time. Was on bye last week, so he's nice and rested up. Mike Evans is absolutely on a tear. And I'm even thinking Teddy Bridgewater might have a decent fantasy day here. His team's probably going to get blown out, playing the Packers, but junk time counts just the same. I'm going to pick Matt too here.
Yep, I am also picking the Big Easy. Something I just wanted to point out was that I was only projected for... Wow, Jamal Charles just scored a nice touchdown. Man, that hurts us for our bet, though.
It does.
So we'll give you a little update on the Mark and Mike's gambling corner. We for the Thursday night game, we actually placed two bets. We placed one bet on the Oakland Raiders to win outright, and we also placed a second bet on the Raiders to cover a 7.5-point spread. So we hedged our bets a little bit, basically thinking, you know, as it's playing out, that the Raiders were going to keep it close and at least
rivalry
have a chance.
Game.
Yeah, rivalry game, bad weather, at home. They got to win a game at some point. And it is now, after Charles scoring that touchdown, 17-17 with 12 minutes left to go in the second half. Anyway,
back to... But we're not upset because, of course, we own Jamal Charles.
We don't care about Jamal Charles. Well, I do have him in my kickers league, actually. So, all right. But anyway, yeah, I am also going to pick the Big Easy. Something I wanted to point out, I am actually only projected for two fewer points than Richie this week. Just thought that was kind of a funny thing to point out. You know, Richie, one of the top teams in the league, me, a lowly 0-11 tanker. Just thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, still no Sanders or JT practicing yet. Doesn't look like either of those guys are going to play. He's got Marshawn Lynch going up against a stout Arizona defense. He's got Phillip Rivers going up against a really tough St. Louis defense. For my brother, you pointed out the same things I was going to point out with DeMarco Murray and Mike Evans, and I think the Big Easy pulls this one out.
All righty, Mike. Next up, Jules Dash versus Tom Yum Soup. Jules Dash coming in this matchup at 9-2, looking to get a win to solidify first place and the number one overall seed going into the playoffs. Tom Yum Soup at 7-4, still very much in the thick of things. Considering he doesn't have the highest of overall point totals, if he finishes at 7-6, he's absolutely not a guarantee to make the playoffs, so he definitely needs to get a win in one of the last two games here. I'm going to be picking myself for this one. I'm looking for Manning and Megatron to have bounce-back games. Looking for Jeremy Maclin to continue his wide receiver one ways. And one thing that's kind of interesting, this Detroit versus New England game is a huge game for me. I have four players playing in that game. So, you know, if the game flow is just low scoring, a slow game, that could be very bad for me. But, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be... I think I can at least rely on Megatron and Gronk. Bell and Gray, of course, are the big question marks. But I'm picking myself. Sean.
Yeah, speaking of Gray, with New England now also signing LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
You know, Belichick likes LeGarrette Blount. He had a nice run last year under him.
Well, he liked him so much that he cut him in the offseason. So.
Right, but now he's signing him again. You know, he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Well, I wouldn't have signed him if I was Belichick.
And that's why you're here doing the hamster cast. He's coaching the New England Patriots.
Sean's team. He's got Arian Foster and Randall Cobb. That's about it. I guess for the time being, C.J. Anderson is relevant considering injuries to other Broncos running backs. But I just don't see Sean putting up a big score here. I'm picking myself in this one.
Okay. I just realized we forgot to do the haikus for each team here. So we'll go back. We'll do the haikus for two girls, one cob, as well as one more snap. And then we'll do them for Jules Dash and Tom Yum Soup.
We also missed City Football Team and Big Easy.
Oh, man.
Sorry. I'll take the blame for that one.
Yeah,
that's my fault.
Yeah, you should have prompted me there. All right. Just kidding. I'll take some blame for that, too. So who should I do first?
One more snap.
One more snap. Okay. Maybe it is true. Dentists aren't cut out for sports. Only time will tell. And then I got to do myself here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tank heard round the world, setting historical lows, hopes to win one game.
Perfect.
Yeah, sums it up.
City football team?
City football team. This was the first one I wrote. This one just came to me. Right. Two-time champion, but the wheels are falling off. Can he recover? Now who?
Big Easy.
Big Easy. Newbie in the league, amidst a fight for his life. Do formulas work? By the way, I'll say, as I'm reading this, really disappointed that we didn't get any squeaks with haikus.
Yeah, we don't get shit, man.
That was really disappointing. Like, I wrote 12 haikus in about 45 minutes today.
Amongst the other 10 players in our league, we got a combined zero haikus.
Yeah. I mean, we did get a really great squeak from the commish, which is awesome.
Right.
But
still.
Yeah, but still. Come on. All right, let's move on.
I feel like our fans are just, like taking us for granted almost. You know?
Yeah. It's
if they didn't have the answer, Cass, I think they don't think it would be a big deal. And then once you get a few weeks into the season, they would be like, man, I'm kind of missing some hamster casts. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
No, not at all. Mike's totally off.
Oh, great.
All right. And then Jules Dash and Tom Yum Soup.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Who do I got first here? Jules Dash. A star-studded cast, but questions at QB2. Still the favorite.
Tom Yum Soup.
Tom Yum Soup. There he is. The power ranker, who flip-flop at every turn, could flop below sixth. Yeah. I think as you just pointed out, his low point total, despite his nice record, he could still fall out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, haikus aside, I am also picking Jules Dash in this one. Just, you know, it's really hard to pick against this team. Sean's QBs aren't great, you know, Eli Manning and Zach Mettenberger. I thought it was funny again that Sean is hedging his bets by starting the defense that is playing against one of his quarterbacks, starting the Dallas defense going against Eli Manning. I mean, Eli Manning, who threw 5 interceptions last week, can't argue with that play.
Mm-hmm.
The one nice thing Sean has going for him right now is that I don't want to say one nice thing because he has some nice pieces on his team, but a nice addition has been the C.J. Anderson thing. You know, with a couple of injuries, looking a little more serious than previously thought, starting running back in Denver. It's got to feel good going forward. It's got to rub him the right way going forward.
What do you think about his decision to start Eli over Brian Mallett?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. I mean, I actually was looking at Eli's stat lines over the whole season, and it feels like Eli's kind of been struggling. But again, similar to what I was talking about with Philip Rivers on Tuesday, he's only had 2 bad games recently. He had 10 points, 12 points, then 22 points, 23 points, then a really bad 6 points, but then 15, 33, 17, 17. So, I mean, most of the time he's been putting up pretty decent scores. So I think I would probably go with Eli as well if you look at the whole body of work. He just had that horrible game last week, which stands out.
Alrighty. Next up, FFC Dual Threat versus I Dream of Geno.
Should I do the haikus first?
Absolutely.
All right. Let me pull these up. Let's see. FFC Dual Threat. Here we are. With a checkered past, the heel pushes to the top. Karma will prevail.
Wow. A little bitter, maybe.
And who's he playing?
He is playing I Dream of Geno.
All right, so this is the only one I didn't strictly abide by the 5-7-5 rule. I went with 6-7-5 just because it was too good to pass up. Started from the bottom. Now he's here. Parentheses in the playoffs. Young guns must come through.
Perfect.
Yep.
What a view.
All right.
Do you believe in Zane's team?
I don't know. I believe in what I do believe in, and I've said this before, is that if you do a good enough job of picking up these guys who are like in good situations temporarily, and you just keep getting them, like Forsett and, you know, hitting
Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, Jeremy Hill, like Orton, even Orton, Ingram, like all these guys who he's either picked up or, you know, and then obviously, as we've talked about all year, the young guys who have panned out, Watkins and Benjamin, and, you know, and the thing is, like, Cam is a little bit of a sleeping giant.
Yes.
Going his bye. Going into the bye, could get healthy, coming right. in back in week 13. If Zane can come out with a win this week, you know, that he could be a little bit of a scary team going into the playoffs.
I agree.
So,
But yeah, FFC dual threat coming in the matchup at 7-4. I dream of Geno at 6-5. Huge pivotal matchup here. I am going to pick C's in this one. And in fact, I'm going to pick C's for my high score of the week.
Wow.
He has got some amazing matchups. Colin Kaepernick at home versus the Redskins. Brandon Marshall, who's been looking better and better, at home versus the Bucks. Mike Wallace playing at Denver. A lot of junk time in that one. Shady McCoy at home versus the Titans, who Le'Veon Bell just ran all over. He's got Josh McCown in the Josh McCown revenge game in Chicago. Josh McCown came in last year, played much better than Jay Cutler, and they still cut McCown, chose Cutler over him, and he's back. And he's got a huge chip on his shoulder. I think he's going to have a monster game. Zane has Cam and Benjamin on bye.
Monster game, huh?
Yeah.
How monster?
Over 20.
Over 20?
Yeah. Over 20.
I'll take the under on that.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Put it on the board.
Zane's got Cam and Benjamin on bye, forced to start RG3, and has a couple of...
I mean, Cam Newton on bye, forced to start RG3.
Cam and Benjamin on
bye. Oh, I thought you said Calvin Benjamin.
and has a couple of semi-local D.C. residents. We know what kind of mess it is up in D.C. right now. Gosh.
What summed it up was, so last night we had a few friends over to kind of send Mark off a little bit. You know, just some people, you know, we wouldn't normally see. Just had some pizza and a few drinks, and we caught the end of the Wizards game, the Washington Wizards. And in the post-game show, they were talking about the Redskins. And the tagline that came up was, do the Redskins have any chance of beating the 49ers this week? And we just thought that was pretty funny. Like, that's the state of the team. That those are the types of questions that they're asking on their talk shows is, do they have any chance of winning their game this weekend?
Things are not looking good.
Yeah.
I'm going to head and bet against RG3 in this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got Mark Ingram. Pierre Thomas is looking like he's been practicing this week, might be playing, so maybe Ingram's value goes down a bit. One thing I'm kind of questioning... He's got Jeremy Hill on the bench, starting Golden Tate over him.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Even with Gio coming back, you know, Hill has definitely proved himself. I think, I don't know, what would you do in this situation?
That's a tough decision.
It is.
So it's Golden Tate at New England, so you got to think.
With Megatron back.
With Megatron back, but you got to think they're probably going to be playing from behind. However, a tough matchup nonetheless. I mean, New England's got a great secondary, as they showed, you know, both against Denver and against Indianapolis last week. Jeremy Hill, you know, his workload is going to be cut a little bit with Gio Bernard coming back, but Gio Bernard's not 100% healthy. He's just getting back into practice this week. A little bit easier matchup at Houston, you know, not the toughest of matchups. I think I'd probably go Jeremy Hill.
Yeah.
But it's close. It's really close.
You think a few times. You think about it.
Yeah. Anyway, so you are, who are you picking in this one?
Pick and C's and pick and C's for my high score of the week.
I am also picking C's begrudgingly. Just like you said, C's has some amazing matchups. And I Dream of Geno has some really tough matchups with RG3 on the road at San Francisco, Sammy Watkins and Kyle Orton at playing against the New York. Not super tough, but the Jets have a good defense. You know, that's a tough matchup. It's going to be cold. And then plus the buys, like you said, of Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin. I think that's a little bit too much for him to overcome. I hope he wins. I'm rooting for him. You know, I have a special bond with I Dream of Geno, but I think I am also picking C's to win this one.
All righty. Last but certainly not least, Reverse Creepback versus Sleep Machine. Reverse Creepback comes into this.
Let me do my high cues here.
That's right. Go ahead.
All right. This is for Reverse Creepback. QBs were his strength until Matty Ice went south. Memory remains. And last one. Last high Q, you know? I put a lot of thought into these.
These are very good.
All right, so this is for Sleep Machine. So many sleep puns. Old guns plus luck equals hope. He lurks in the dark.
Perfect. Great high Q.
Thanks. All right.
Reverse Creepback comes to this matchup at 5-6. Sleep Machine at 6-5. Clearly a win or go home for Reverse Creepback. Very pivotal matchup here. I'm going to be picking Sleep Machine. You know, Reverse Creepback, he's, like we said, you know, times been kind of tough for him lately. One thing I noticed, he's starting Matt Ryan over Tom Brady. Not sure that I am in complete agreement.
You mean over
with it.
Romo?
I'm sorry. I get the former bromance, Tom Brady, Tony Romo.
Tommy Bromo.
I get the two confused all the time. Starting Matt Ryan over Tony Romo. Still has Charles Sims in there. Rookie running back, hasn't done anything. Keeping Reggie Bush on the bench. Interesting call. But, you know, on the bright side, Gio Bernard is back. He's been missing in the past few weeks. Brady at home versus Detroit. Brady's been super hot lately. So, you know, I guess that's one positive way to look at his team. But overall, I just see Sleep Machine winning this one. His two huge mega superstars, Luck and Forte, both have great matchups. Luck versus Jacksonville at home. Forte versus Tampa Bay at home. Frank Gore has been rolling lately. Alex Smith, as we're watching right now, having a nice game. I'm going to head and pick Sleep Machine here.
Yeah, I am also picking Sleep Machine. This is a tough one for me because the Reverse Creepback was my preseason. Just kind of pick out of the dark to maybe win the league. You know, as we went in, we were like, just pick one team you think could win the league. He was my pick. But now I look at it, his running backs are Charles Sims and Giovanni Bernard. Giovanni Bernard is probably going to be getting, you know, 35% of the carries and not even maybe at 100% health. Going up against Matt Forte and Frank Gore at home against Washington, you know, that can't rub him the right way. You talked about, Brady has been hot, but he is also this week going up against the elite Detroit Lions defense, best pass rush in the game. You know, so even as hot as Brady's been, I don't see a huge game for him. And considering that, I just don't see him having enough firepower to overcome, like you said, Andrew Luck and Forte having monster matchups. And as we're watching it, Alex Smith actually putting together a nice game here. You know, started off slow, but as I've mentioned many times on the podcast, one of the best QB2s in the game. He now is at 17 points with still some time left in the fourth quarter.
That's right, Mike.
I think they got it. Nice.
All right. That wraps up our previews here. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We will maybe...
We don't know.
We're not sure what we're going to do. The next week is Thanksgiving week, so I don't think we'll have anything, any pods next week.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be out of town.
Yeah. I think what we can say for sure is that we will at least, at the very least, do one more this season. Okay. We can say that with 100% certainty.
Probably, yeah.
99.9% certainty.
Right.
But
thanks for tuning in. It's been a hell of a Thursday show here. Good luck week 12, everybody. And we'll get back to you sooner rather than later.